KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8:01, we have clear skies and 10 degrees below zero in Atlantic. We look for it to be sunny but cold today, a high of only 7 above. Wind chills this morning as low as 30 degrees below zero. Good morning, I'm Rick Henson with KJAN News, brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 70 years. Well, officials with the AHST Community School District have announced that AHST and the Walnut Community School District will officially begin whole grade sharing of grades 7 through 12, beginning in the fall of 2014. The Walnut School Board approved the four-year sharing agreement at their regularly scheduled meeting this past Monday. The AHST Board approved the same agreement during their meeting on Wednesday. The process of whole grade sharing began in September in 2013 when both districts passed a resolution to enter into agreements, or rather negotiations for sharing, and following a public period of comment, a draft whole grade sharing agreement was presented in December during separate public hearings to patrons of both districts. All students in grade 7 through 12 will be served at the AHST Secondary School. The name of the secondary for extracurricular activities will be AHSTW. The mascot will be the Vikings and Lady Vikes, with the colors remaining blue, red, and white. Walnut will reimburse AHST for 80% of the district cost per pupil by the state to educate their resident students. AHST also approved the expansion of programs and staff. Next year, the AHSTW Secondary will have a full-time agricultural extension and industrial technology program. AHST is also adding a full-time TAG teacher that's talented and gifted, a secondary language arts teacher, a student services coordinator, as well as increasing teaching staff in the special education and Title I departments. Anyone with questions about the whole grade sharing agreement can contact the superintendent of the AHST Community School District and Walnut Community School District. His name is Jesse Ulrich. News time is 8:03.
Shop Robinson's True Value Hardware, your oldest downtown hardware store in Atlantic. They've been providing the same dependable quality service and quality merchandise for over 70 years at the same location. So come down to Robinson True Value for all your hardware needs. They've got paint for any surface and hardware for any purpose. And for all your shipping and packaging needs, they ship via UPS. That's Robinson True Value Hardware Store at 325 Chestnut Street in beautiful downtown Atlantic. Or give them a call at 243-4667.
Elsewhere in area news, the Atlantic City Council overwhelmingly voted down the first reading of an ordinance which would eventually have allowed the rezoning of a 50-foot lot in the southwest corner of 7th and Olive Streets from residential to highway commercial. Prior to their 7-0 vote, the council had received a petition from residents in the immediate area who are opposed to the request from Plummer Investments to have the lot rezoned. The owner has said he would tear down a 133-year-old dilapidated home on the lot he owns because it hadn't been kept up according to the city's minimum maintenance code, but he didn't say what the lot would be used for. That was still a mystery during Wednesday night's city council meeting. Mayor Dave Jones.
We have no plans from the person requesting the variance of what he's going to do. I think it's just, I'm not sure what the motive is behind it. There's no plans. We don't know what he's going to put there.
The city zoning board recommended the zoning be approved, but city administrator Doug Harris pointed out the proposal doesn't conform with the intentions of the city's comprehensive plan for residential zoning in that area.
What it shows is that right now it's high density residential, but it recommends that it goes to medium density residential. So the idea in terms of for future development on that side, 7th Street in that area, is to move more towards single family. So that doesn't really indicate that it would conform to the comprehensive plan to move more towards encroaching commercial. You know, there's comments about it'll be torn down or it's going to improve. Well, you don't know what's going to be. You don't know it's going to be torn down, or you don't know they'd put something there that would help or not negatively impact the neighborhood. I mean, I'd be reluctant to rezone it unless they had more specific plans that it could show that it would actually be beneficial to the neighborhood and conform with the comprehensive plan.
The only access to the lot is through an alley, which the council agreed is not conducive to parking or flow of traffic in the area if a commercial structure were to be built on the lot. David Riedemann, real estate agent for the property owner, tried to speak to the council's concerns over plans for the property.
He also owns the property adjacent to it, to the west.
Mm-hmm. I've heard that.
Yes, and he's willing to sell that as well if a potential commercial buyer needs parking. So that would take care of the parking issue. That's his intentions, basically, is to sell it for commercial development.
Elsewhere in the news, an Atlantic Bank sustained $1,000 damage Tuesday evening when an unattended vehicle jumped the curb and hit the structure. The Atlantic Police say the mishap at the Wells Fargo Bank on Chestnut Street occurred around 6:45 p.m. Tuesday. The vehicle, owned by Cherise Smith of Atlantic, somehow slipped out of park, jumped a curb, and knocked over a parking sign before hitting the east side of the building. Smith was at the ATM inside the bank and returned to find the accident had occurred. Damage to her vehicle was estimated at $500. An official with the Council Bluffs Police Department's Criminal Investigation Division says law enforcement personnel discovered bone fragments during a search of a burned-out Glenwood home on New Year's Eve. Sergeant Chad Myers told the Daily Nonpareil there is no confirmation the bones are human, however. Authorities transported the bones to the state lab in Ankeny for testing. The mother of 26-year-old Travis Bach had said earlier she feared her son's remains would be found at the home owned by 69-year-old Gerald Nibby, who was away the evening of December 31st when the fire broke out and destroyed the structure. Colleen Bach said she believes her son was near the scene of the fire because a vehicle found parked on the property the night of the fire belonged to a person from Council Bluffs who told sheriff's deputies that he lent the vehicle to Travis Bach. When Travis never returned home that evening, the family filed a missing person report with the Council Bluffs Police Department. Sergeant Myers confirmed that authorities have not located Travis Bach since the fire. Authorities say Travis knew Nibby and had done odd jobs for him in the past. Investigators with the State Fire Marshal's Division were never able to determine what caused that fire. A public hearing will take place on Monday, January 27th here in Cass County with regard to the proposed rules requiring passive radon mitigation in new home and small business construction. The hearing is set to take place at the Cass County Memorial Hospital's Conference Room No. 1 beginning at 1 o'clock Monday. A copy of the proposed rules will be available at the Cass County Public Health Office, which is located at 1500 East 10th Street. The hours there are from 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Monday through Friday. The Iowa Board of Social Work has set May 12th as the date for a hearing in the case of a master social worker from Creston who is charged with violating the terms of an impaired practitioner recovery contract with the Impaired Practitioner Review Committee, or IPRC. On December 3rd of 2012, Kenneth Hayes self-reported to the IPRC due to possible substance abuse issues. According to board documents, Hayes signed an initial agreement with the IPRC on January 29th of 2013 and a monitoring contract on April 13th of that year. The contract requires abstinence from drugs and alcohol and daily call-ins to a lab and to meet with an aftercare provider. On August 28th of last year and twice in September, Hayes tested positive for alcohol. In October 2013, Hayes stopped making the required lab calls. He was discharged from his aftercare provider in November due to noncompliance. As a result of his actions, the IPRC voted to nullify Hayes' contract and refer him to the Board of Social Work for a possible hearing. And on January 16th of this year, the board found probable cause to file the hearing notice and statement of charges. The allegations against Hayes are proven. The board may take disciplinary action as allowed by the Iowa Code and Iowa Administrative Code. And taking a look at world headlines here on KJAN at this hour, we find that a government task force will recommend today that President Obama shut down the National Security Agency's bulk collection of phone data and purge its massive inventory of millions of American calling records. The recommendation from the Privacy and Civil Liberties Oversight Board is even more sweeping than a recommendation from the Review Group on Intelligence and Communications Technology in December to restrict phone surveillance limited to court-ordered sweeps. A pro-democracy watchdog group says civil rights and liberties around the world are down for the eighth straight year. The Washington-based Freedom House says basic freedoms are being dragged down by Egypt's military coup, Venezuela's clinging to authoritarianism, and Russian President Vladimir Putin's crackdown on opposition groups. Just a year ago, the same group said the pro-democratic Arab Spring rallies in Cairo since 2011 were a hopeful sign for reform in Egypt. And the number of Americans seeking unemployment benefits is up slightly, but to a level consistent with steady job gains. The government says the four-week average, which doesn't fluctuate as much, is down for the third straight week. News time is 8:10.
Shop Robinson's True Value Hardware, your oldest downtown hardware store in Atlantic. They've been providing the same dependable quality service and quality merchandise for over 70 years at the same location. So come down to Robinson True Value for all your hardware needs. They've got paint for any surface and hardware for any purpose. And for all your shipping and packaging needs, they ship via UPS. That's Robinson True Value Hardware Store at 325 Chestnut Street in beautiful downtown Atlantic. Or give them a call at 243- 303-423-4667.
In the funeral announcements, Sandra Sandy K. Brown, age 72 of Avoca, died Monday at Virtue Medical Center in Harlan. Funeral services for Sandy Brown will be tomorrow at 10:30 at Trinity Lutheran Church in Avoca. Polly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has arrangements. Patrick Dean McCorkle, age 53 of Adair, died Monday at Iowa Methodist in Des Moines. No services are planned, but a gathering of family and friends of Patrick McCorkle will be held tomorrow from 5 until 8 p.m. at the Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart. Elsie M. South, age 87 of Atlantic, died Tuesday at the Cass County Hospital. No services are planned for Elsie South, but a visitation with her family is from 10 a.m. until 11:30 a.m. on Saturday at the Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. Delphine Jensen, age 84 of Greenfield, died Friday at the Good Samaritan Society in Fontenelle. Celebration of life services for Delphine Jensen will be Saturday at 10:30 at the United Methodist Church in Greenfield. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Dorothy Mashing, age 83 of Carroll, died Wednesday at St. Anthony Hospital in Carroll. A Mass of Christian burial service for Dorothy Mashing will be Saturday at 10:30 at the Holy Spirit Church in Carroll. Odie Twitt Funeral Home of Carroll has the arrangements. Greta Teresa Ulrich, age 80 of Atlantic, died Monday at Creighton University Medical Center. Funeral services for Greta Ulrich will be Saturday at 11 o'clock at the Zion Lutheran Church in Atlantic. Phyllis Bax, age 78 of Greenfield, died Monday at Mercy Medical Center in Des Moines. Funeral services for Phyllis Bax will be Saturday at 1 o'clock at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Greenfield. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Elaine Adams, age 63 of Casey, died Monday at Mercy Hospital in Des Moines. Services for Elaine Adams are currently pending at the Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Adair. And Dean Orsted, age 58 of Griswold, died Monday at his home. Services for Dean Orsted are pending at Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. The news was brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 70 years. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.